It's weird, like, things that you sometimes they talk about.
Good. Okay. Good morning, let's get started here. That is...
The tip of the corner?
Yeah, Chuda Shel Karen is referring to the Mizbeach, a part of the Mizbeach. And we're going to discuss it now, okay? Great, excellent. So let's get started. We're on Yud Dalad Amud Beis. Yud Dalad Amud Beis, we're in a brisa that's describing the carbon sota, the carbon that she brings, or as Rashi says that he brings, but kind of she takes over. And this is different than many of the other carbonos mincha that are brought. That is what the brisa on top of Yud Dalad Amud Beis was saying. We're going to continue with some of the differences over here. The nos na l'kli sharis u'makdisha b'kli sharis, which is a quote from the brisa above. We're about 10 lines down from the wide lines, a bit less than half the way down on Yud Dalad Amud Beis. The nos na l'kli sharis u'makdisha b'kli sharis. Shemas mina kli sharis in mekachin el midas. Really, does this mean that a kli sharis, which we discussed, that the woman has to put her carbon into the kli sharis, whereas by all carbonos mincha, it starts in a kli sharis and it ends with a kli sharis. By carbon sota, it could start in some sort of wicker basket and then it gets to a kli sharis. But still, the Gemara asks...
And you don't use the exact same thing.
Right. The brisa seems to indicate that it's put into a kli sharis, umakdisha b'kli sharis, which the Gemara infers seems to be a different act. Kli sharis in mikachin elamitas, is it not done only with knowledge? Which means that it seems to be that there's an additional step here in the brisa, umakdisha b'kli sharis. And so the Gemara, no. Ema, perhaps it's not a proof that it has to be actively thought of with a separate, so to say, thought process. No snubli kli sharis, likacha b'kli sharis. It's placed into a kli sharis that, in effect, makes it makdish inside the kli sharis. So it's not necessarily the case that it's a different act. Then we put inside oil and frankincense. Shenemar, as the pasuk says in Vayikra, Vayitzok oleha shemen, v'nasan oleha levona. Now we pour on it oil and we put on frankincense. Umolicha itzol kohen, it's brought to the kohen. Niksiv v'heviyah el b'nei aron v'gomer. Right, it's brought to the children of Aaron, to the kohanim. V'kohen molicha itzol mizbeach, and the kohen brings it to the mizbeach. Niksiv v'higisha el hamizbeach. And he kind of approaches the Mizbeach. Magisha b'keren dromis ma'aravis, keneged chuda shel keren v'dayo. And then he brings it to the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, v'dayo. And that's enough. That's what you were asking before. This is the southwest corner of the Mizbeach, which if we take a look at the graph we had yesterday, which is just a beautiful color chart in Maseches Yoma, the article brings down at the intro, the beautiful graph, chart, picture of the Beis HaMikdash. So this is the southwest corner diagram. Thank you, David. So this is the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. Feel free to take a look as we move along here. Let's discuss that a little bit as we said we will yesterday. What does the Gemara say? Right? They're going to the southwest corner. Vidayo, and that's enough. The Gemara is going to discuss that word too. Minolon, where do we know the southwest corner? Diksiv v'zos toras ha-mincha. This is the body, this is the law of the mincha. Hakrev osa p'nei Aaron lifnei Hashem. The children of Aaron, the quantum, should bring it. Literally, the words, these two phrases have to be circled or underlined or at least remembered. Lifnei Hashem el p'nei ha-mizbeach. Before Hashem and facing the mizbeach. So how do we reconcile these two? Itanya lifnei Hashem yachol b'marav. I would have thought that lifnei Hashem is in the west. Hamalomar el p'nei mizbeach. No, it has to be a p'nei mizbeach. El p'nei mizbeach, hamizbeach yochol b'darom. I would have thought maybe in the south. Hamalomar lefnei Hashem, it must be before Hashem. Okay, it's on magisha v'keren dromis ma'aravis. Right, so it must mean that it's southwest. Southwest, we're going to hopefully get lifnei Hashem in front of Hashem. And in front of Hashem, if you take a look at the diagram, must be facing towards the Olam Moed. This graph, as we said, is according to one opinion. This diagram is according to one opinion where the mizbeach is in the south. But really, the mizbeach could be, there are three opinions brought down. That it's either in the south, in the middle, or in the north of the Azara there. So, as we'll see in the diagram coming up shortly, that right now we're trying to get the southwest corner to be the south corner of the Mizbeach, but also facing inside the Olam Moed. We'll see how that works. Right, by the way, the Rishonim in Tana Balacha brings down that what? Amazing to connect this. This is the source of the Ramah, who says that where else is there some sort of compromise in halacha? Excellent. Thank you, Eliezer. Vay mezuzah. That just like there, we kind of try to find the medium ground. Straight or down, well, which ones we say in the middle. So to here, we want to get the west, we want to get the south, so we put it in the southwest corner, and we thereby fulfill both. Rabbi Elazar, oh, amazing. Rabbi Elazar, Omer, Yacho, Yagishena b'ma'arava shel karen, ola d'rama shel karen, that maybe we can go onto one side of the corner, so it's not exactly in the corner, but it's kind of near the corner. Arma kol mokam shata motzei shnei mekraos, echad mekayim atzmo u'mekayim divrei chavero, one that fulfills itself, and one that, so to say, fulfills its friend, meaning one pasuk that fits with, or one concept that fits with both psukim, echad mekayim atzmo u'mevasal divrei chavero, or one where its approach, so to say, nullifies the other pasuk, manichen eshe mekayim atzmo u'mevasal chavero. And so obviously, how do we translate that pasuk? How do we understand that pasuk? We're going to leave the understanding where it would negate the other pasuk. And we're going to grab, we're going to understand, and we're going to take, we're going to translate this pasuk that both is reconciled with this and that understanding of both pasukim. Kshata omer. So therefore, the two pasukim that we have of Lifnei Hashem and El Panei Mizbeach, when we say the words Lifnei Hashem b'ma'arav, that's going to be in the west. So, Bitalta El Panei Mizbeach Badarom. That's going to nullify then the El Panei Mizbeach, which seems to be the south. Uchshata Omer El Panei Mizbeach Badarom, Kiyamta El Panei Hashem B'ma'arav. But when we first understand that it should be facing the Mizbeach in the south, then we're going to fulfill the Pasuk that also describes Lifnei Hashem B'ma'arav in the west. By the way, in the art school, it just brings down, feel free to take a look, the different charts about where the Mizbeach can actually be. Because even though it's in the south, maybe it could go in. So if we take a look back at this diagram in Maseches Yuma, again, the southwest corner is not facing inside the Ohel Moed. Though even the one where it's straight on to the entrance, it still doesn't, because it's slightly off. The southwest corner is slightly off to face inside the Ohel Moed. So it must be, as the Gemara is about to say, that this opinion holds that the Mizbeach was in the north, and I'll show you a diagram in just a second, which is going to bring it all together ever so wonderfully. Ha-ketzad, magisha l'droma shel karen, necha kiyamta, and where is that going to take place? Amar Rashi, k'saver haitana, kulo, kulei Mizbeach b'tzofon koi. Mizbeach must be in the north, which is going to, according to the machlokas that we had before. Can I borrow this for 1 second, please? Thank you. So if you take a look at this graph right here, beautiful, putting it all together. Here it shows the Mizbeach being in the north. This is the bottom of the art scroll on 14b3, which has a great diagram. The Mizbeach's in the north, which means that the southwest corner of the Mizbeach faces right in to the Heichal, faces right in to the Lifnei Hashem. Great, fantastic. Now the Gemara is going to go on to discuss what is the word vidayo. So we're going to be up here. We're going to, yeah. My vidayo, right there. Excellent. So the Gemara now is wondering what the word vidayo meant from the Braisa. Great, so we said vidayo, and that's enough. What does vidayo mean? My vidayo, amravashi itzrich. I would have thought that maybe that we pour the flour itself onto the Mizbeach, not in the kli sharis. Kamash malan, no. Emahachinami, so maybe we should pour the actual kli. Maybe we should pour the mincha without the kli. Amar Kra, no. V'krivo el ha-kohen v'chulu, v'gisha el mizbeach. Ma ha-krava etzel kohen v'kli. Just like the ha-krava, the kohen brings the carbon to the mizbeach with a kli. Af ha-gosha etzel mizbeach v'kli. So to the ha-gosha, the approaching the mizbeach, to sprinkle it on, to pour it on the mizbeach, that's with a kli also. Excellent. Two dots. There's where we're trying to understand the Karban Mincha, that she is bringing the difference between the her Karban Mincha and the other Karbanos Mincha, and the process. And then we kind of like remove the Levona to one side. So that it won't get mixed up, so that the coin won't do Kmitza with the Levona that's in the Karban Mincha. Kiditnan, Kamatz ve'ola b'yodo tzror, or gargor melach, or kore Levona. What happens if the coin does Kmitza? Again, the three middle fingers, and he brings up a pebble or some sort of grain of salt or a particle of Levona. Puzzle, it is puzzle. Rashi, three lines up at the bottom, Yishum, to have a kometz chasar, because the Kmitza is now deficient. So we have to have pure, so to say, Kmitza in there. even a little bit of Lavona won't be good, so we move it to the side. The Kamat, the Komets, Mimelkum Shinasra Bashamna, and the coin does Kamitza from the place that has a lot of oil. Minalan, where do we know this? It says Misalta Umishamna, Migarsa Umishamna. Again, oil is associated with the wheat flour, with the barley flour. Oil is associated with them both in the Psukim, and therefore we want to get a lot of oil in there for the Kamitza. The Nos Nolato Klisharis, put inside the klisharis, and we are makdash it in the klisharis. Lomali, why do we have to transfer? Why are there two klisharis? Why do we have to sort of say transfer it? It was already makdash. So that's gemara mediave adam. It's just like dam. Dam. What dam by what? By a regular carbon. And just to do some review here, what is the four stages? What are the four avodos by a regular carbon? Shechita, slaughtering. Kabbalah, accepting the dam. What comes next?
Sprinkling is last.
So what comes in between? Excellent. What comes between accepting the blood and sprinkling the blood? Just think about it. Good. Holacha. Carrying it over. You know, because the slaughtering is not done right next to the mizbeach. So you kind of walk it over. Shechita, Kabbalah, Holacha, Zrika. So too here, the Karban Mincha, even though it's not blood, it's not an animal, it's flour, oil, frankincense. So there's parallel four avodos. The first one is Kmitza. Kmitza, the three fingers, is similar to the Shechita. The next one is the transferring it into the Kli, like Kabbalah, which is what we're referring to now. So, Midi Yaveh Dam, it's like the Dam, like the transferring into the Kli. Dam, Afal Gav De Kedishte, Sakin Mitzavar Behema, Hadar Makdash Le B'Kli Shares, by the Dam, just like we sort of say our Makdash, the blood, when the knife hits the animal's neck. We then go again, and we're Makdash it in a Kli Shares. So too by the Komets, there's the Kmitza, and then we're Makdash it, and then we transfer it into the Kli Shares. Interesting. Maybe. And then we put our finger into the wine? Yeah. Interesting. Interesting question. I like the question. I like the thoughts. Please continue to share them. Umalkidus Lavonus of Anosno Agabav Diksiv. So what do we then do? We then put the Lavona, sort of say, on top of it, on the Komets, Diksiv, Veskol HaLavona Asher Alamincha. Then the oil is mixed into flour, and the frankincense is, sort of say, placed on top. Umaleu Umaktiro B'Kli Shares, where we are just approaching the top of Tesvav Amud Aleph. And then we sort of say we bring it up in a Kli Shares. We take it up to the Mizbeach to burn it in a Kli Shares. Big Kli Shares Makter Le? Wait, is it in inside of a Kli Shares? How exactly do we makter it? In a Kli Shares? Elim Amaleu Big Kli Shares Lahak Tiro. No, we bring it up to the Mizbeach in a Kli Shares Lahak Tiro, but we don't burn it actually in the Kli Shares. I want to bring up a question now, which is more lumdus. We've had a lot of agata the last few days. Let's bring up a lumdish kind of question, and I want to hear your answers. Briefly, here we go. There's a concept called piggle. Now that we're discussing karbanos, we're discussing avoda, we're discussing the nitty-gritty of kmitza, of the karmincha, of the flour, which is, by the way, unbelievable. I was thinking, as I was preparing this, I was thinking, you know, only in the Daf Yomi can we go from, like, burial of Moshe Rabbeinu and yearning to be in Eretz Yisrael and who's burying him in Hashem and all the different agatas. We got all of a sudden, you know, a day away, and all of a sudden we're discussing real halachas of kmitza and shechita. It's unbelievable. So, pickle is another one of those halachas discussed heavily in Zvachim. Pickle means, anybody know what pickle means?
Stay the next day.
Pickle's a thought. Pickle's a thought by the Kohen. If while he's doing certain avodos, like shechita, like zrika, it's brought down there, if he has a thought that he's going to eat or sprinkle the dam outside the allocated time that he's able to do so, and he's mefagel the carbon. The carbon is called pigle. The carbon then is not allowed, meaning it's ruined. There's a discussion there in the Gemara as to whether the bialim, the baal, can ask for compensation back from the kohen because he paid for this carbon. All of a sudden, it's ruined. Can he get money back? Just like, you know, if I lend something to somebody,
what the thought was?
The kohen's thought is, I'm going to eat this. I have a party, a birthday party next week. Wow, I'd love to have this steak next week. Done. Unbelievable. Thought. Done. No. If there's a day or 2 days to eat it, and he wants to eat it outside the proper time, he's done. It doesn't work. Now, that's pigel. There's a Gemara, Maseches Zvachim Daf Mem Zayin, that describes a Deya, that it's not just if the Kohen has this pigel thought, but even if the Baal has the pigel thought. Following? Even if the owner of the carbon thinks, oh, I'd love to eat this next week, or, oh, we're going to sprinkle this outside of time, meaning we're going to delay this, I'm going to go outside because I have some things to do, and I'm going to come back, it'll be outside the proper time, then the Baal is able to be mefagel the carbon too. Ask Rabbi Yosef Engel, here's where I want the answers, if the owner can be mefagel the carbon, can make the carbon into pigel, then aren't we afraid that this woman who's bringing this carbon mincha, which is ma'akev, it has to be done, is going to ruin the carbon every time she's guilty? Great, so she drinks the water, but the water won't take effect unless the carbon mincha is brought in the right way. But it's only in her mind, so nobody knows this. So maybe she'll just do pigel every time the carbon's brought. And if, according to that Deya down there in Maseches Zvachim Dav Mem Zayin, that she is able to do pigel, according to Elazar Rebbe Yossi, then why doesn't she just do this every time and that'll ruin the carbon? Aren't we worried that this can happen according to that opinion? Some lumdus, some heavy lumdus for 6 o'clock in the morning.
Saying usually, we always trust the Bible. We're saying in this case, she has an incentive not to. Totally. She doesn't want to die.
Exactly. Because other korbanos, it's always beneficial, right? A person's going to get kapara, a person's, right? It's a good. But here it's like, oh boy, if this works and she's guilty, she's going to blow up.
Ugh. Is she the Bible or the husband is the Bible?
Oh, Ellie, unbelievable. Hold on a second. So, Rabbi Yosef Engel brings down, he has a sefer, you know, a nice question. He has a sefer called Gvuros Shmonim. He asks this question at the beginning. The sefer is comprised of 80 answers to this one question. Rabbi Yosef Engel.
That's what the sefer is about.
The whole sefer is 80 answers to this one question. Okay. Baruch Hashem. The 80th is what you said.
What's 67?
I don't know. Homework.
Test me.
I wish I knew. I wish a question bothered me so much that I try to come up with 80 answers to a question. Maybe we'd be holding one day to recognize what that means, that we can be bothered by it.
I didn't hear what his answer was.
So let's discuss it in just a moment. There's a few answers. Number one, his first answer is maybe by kutchum, it's not anybody's carbon. His second answer is maybe this is only by pigel. Anyways, he has a few answers there. The Avnei Nezer brings down a whole answer also, which was, by the way, a bit before him. That what makes it her carbon, usually by the Baal carbon, the Baal carbon gets hana'ah. So a little bit different than what Ellie's saying, is the Baal carbon gets hana'ah from the carbon. She's able to eat it, or something good, positive will come from it. But here, nothing positive is coming from it. She's going to blow up. She won't get any hana'ah benefit from the carbon. So maybe she's not considered the Baal carbon. The 80th answer that the Rabbi Yosef Engel brings down is that it's not the woman's carbon. It's not the woman's carbon. We had the Rashi yesterday, right? Rashi, first Rashi on the Mishnah, is that it's the Baal's carbon, really, but she's the one going through some of the motions. And therefore, even if, according to the Deya, in Maseches Zvachim Daf Mem Zayin, that the Baal can be mefagel the carbon, it's not her. So I was thinking, boy, well, but why doesn't the Baal want to be mefagel the carbon? And then I was thinking, the Baal's the one who brought her to the Beis HaMikdash to bring it in the first place. He doesn't want to be mefagel the carbon. Otherwise, he wouldn't bring her there. So, obviously, the Baal wants it to happen. Therefore, it's not going to happen. Tov, just wanted to bring up a little bit of lumdus this morning. And for us to appreciate lumdus, for us to appreciate, even in the world of Dafyomi, that this can happen. And it was, by the way, not a Monday or a Thursday, so there's an extra few minutes I thought we could add something else. Okay, here we go. Three lines down from the bottom. Tes vav amadal. Umolchov nosnal gabi ishim. Salts the carbon mincha and place it on the fires. Exiv v'chol mincha. The chol carbon minchascha b'melach timlach v'gomer. And that every carbon mincha is salted before it's placed, so to say, on the fire. I had a discussion, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, with a colleague of mine at work. I was sitting down, one of the developers, like a tattooed guy, and I brought salt to the table. I was washing. So we were discussing, like, why did I just bring salt to the table? Is there some, like, because he knows on Shabbat you dip your challah in salt, but like every day, well, what are we doing with salt? So I began to describe that the Torah says that every carbon we have to dip into salt. I said, why? What is one of the reasons behind that? Every time we have, and our bread now, which takes the place of carbonos, which, as we discussed the significance of food the last couple of days and how if we eat food correctly, it can be really makdish, it be makadish us. So I said, so why salt? What does salt symbolize? And I forget where I heard this, but it's a beautiful thought. I think that the Menachas Chinuch, I believe, brings it down. I don't remember. That salt, the the qualities of salt is that it'll stay okay forever. Salt goes on changing. It's eternal, so to say, in its state if nothing happens to it. It stays as is. Most other foods mold, you know, they're done. Salt stays as is. When we dip our food into salt, we have salt around us on the table, reminding ourselves that while we eat this meal, it could either be just a quick meal and leave and done, or it could be like salt. It could stay with us forever. It could bring us to Olam Haba. It could give us eternal pleasure. If we eat food correctly, we make a bracha, we bench, we hopefully have some, you know, some nice Torah shared over the meal. And more importantly, perhaps, is that we recognize that we're eating for a purpose, so we can have strength to serve Hashem. It's the same delicious meal, same delicious pizza, hamburger. But if we have that thought process, then it's like the salt, it can stay with us forever. I think he was inspired. I don't know. But anyways, here we go. Karban mincha. Karban minchas. Karban karva komets shiran necholin. About 4 or 5 lines down. Then he brings the komets, and the necholin are able to be eaten, just like a karban mincha. The kohen, once the kmitza is done, he can eat, or the kohanim can eat from the leftovers. They can eat it in the azara. One exception, by the way, of the kohanim eating the leftovers of the karban mincha is when a kohen himself brings it. Minoan the ksiv hikter kohen as azkarasa v'gomer, and when the kohen brings this azkarasa, which is referring to what causes her to remember this azkarasa, uksiva vanoseres menamin chalaron ulvanav, and the leftovers can be eaten by Aaron and his kids. Karva komets lamar kidislai udamar ulamar kidislai. What does it mean? Karva komets the itmar komets meimasai matir shrayim abachila. When can they be eaten? Machlokas Rabbi Chinin Amar mishatishlot bo haor. Once the fire gets a little bit of hold of the karmincha, that's when the kohanim can start to eat the shira, the leftovers. Rabbi Yochanan Amar mishatitzasa or berubo. No, it's not when it's just kind of sparks, but when the whole thing is, so to say, burning. You know, if we think about a bonfire, there's like that initial, okay, the fire is caught on. But no, or does most of it have to kind of be consumed in the fire? A little bit of a machlokas as to when the kohanim can start to eat the karmincha. Oh, and the kohanim are allowed to put some condiments on it. Right, give me some of that wine. I'll take some of the oil. I'll take a mixture of oil and honey to pour it. You know, they want to spice up their little wheat flour. You know, they want to make it tastier. My taimo, why can they put on condiments? These kinds of condiments. Amarkra limoshcha. The Torah uses the word limoshcha, which we refer to here in the Gemara as ligdula, right? For royalty. And the Mlachim, so to say, can put whatever they want on their foods. They can add stuff to it. They can add spice to it. Therefore, we're allowed to do so too.
Which part do the kohanim eat after they burn it, like the whole burnt thing?
I think the part that's not... I think the kmitza's burned. Right? There's a kli, and they scoop out the kohen does komets, and that part that kmitza's done is burned. The rest of the flour can be, I don't know, they cook it, they make some cookies out of it. I'm not sure, hopefully we'll find out soon. But
okay,
that's kind of the process, if I'm not mistaken. So were they able to add some condiments to it? I heard Rabbi Rosner bring down some acharonim who have such a great havamina here. Like, what's the havamina? Like, why can't they? What would be the opinion that they can't add some spice and stuff to it? So he brings down so nicely. Ever been at somebody's house, like a fancy meal in front of you, you know? You're like, can I get some ketchup for the chicken? You want what? Like, you want ketchup? This is in this sauce and that sauce, and it's marinated, and you want ketchup? Or like, you ask somebody for some salt. Like, you know, it's almost insulting. Like, what do you want? Like, this is good as is. You want other stuff because it's not good enough for you? So they say the acronym here, that it could be the bizayon to the food. Like, this is Hashem's food. It's Hashem. It's a carbon to Hashem. We should just have it as is. Hashem's like, no, I want it to taste good for you. If you want some wine, if you want some oil to add, add it. Enjoy it. That's great. And we should be less strict in our own homes when we have people over. Let's allow people to eat food the way they want to eat the food. As I once heard Rav Kellerman say in his Chinuch Shiurim, he's like, you know, we want our kids to be at the Shabbos table. We want them to be there. We want them to be happy there. But, like, we're feeding them adult food. So I remember saying, if kids like hot dogs and hamburgers, make them hot dogs and hamburgers for the Shabbos. Let them eat what they like. They don't necessarily like your, you know, fancy meat. They want to eat kids. They want french fries. And make french fries for the kids for Shabbos. They like the Shabbos. So just to appreciate what other people like, and to be able to kind of serve that accordingly. Vein asurin elamil chametz. And vein asurin elamil chametz. So what about this carbon itself, that it that the only thing that we can't do with this leftover flour is to let it sit, so to say, become chametz, become leaven, just to sit and do nothing. Nixiv lo se'afeh chametz chelkam. So that it shouldn't become chametz chelkam, their portion. What does chelkam mean? Amar Shimon ben Lakish, afilu chelkam lo se'afeh chametz. That even the portion that's allocated for the carbon, that's allocated for the kohen to eat, shouldn't be left over to become chametz. Kol ha-menachos v'chulu, we had rules about journal kor mincha. Kol ha-menachos tuno shemen ulevona. And all korbanos mincha, as we had in the Mishnah and in the Brisa, that all korbanos mincha require shemen ulevona, oil and frankincense, right? Except for...
No, sota.
Except for the sota, thank you, shalom. V'kom minchas chotes! Wait, there's another mincha that doesn't require it. Which one is that? And that requires no oil. That's the minchas chote. What's the minchas chote? Generally, somebody who sins brings a carbon chatos. For certain averos that a person can do within the carbon chatos, there's a carbon called ola v'yored. If he can afford an animal, bring an animal. But if he's destitute, if he's poor, he can't afford an animal, Torah says just bring carbon mincha. So within this carbon mincha, there's the opportunity, d'rachaman amar lo yasem ala shemen lo yasem ala levona. No shemen, no levona, no oil, no frankincense. And therefore, why do we just point out that it's only the carbon sota? Halchi kamar. Now, here's the way we understand it. Kol ha-menachos tuna shemen ulevona. Ubos menachitin uvos solas. No. Either they require shemen ulevona, or they come from, or, not ubos is not and, but or they come from wheat, or they come from this flour. Minchas chote. Afal pisha eno tuna shemen ulevona. Even though it doesn't require shemen ulevona, bo menachitin ubo solas. Minchasa omer, the minchasa omer, right, the carbon omer, it's brought the second day of Pesach, and it goes up until Shavuos, 49 days, we count the omer, just like this Masechta's 49 blot. Afal pishi ba menasa orin, even though it comes from seorin, from barley, tuna shemen ulevona. So we're seeing all of the unique characteristics of each of these carbonos mincha. Uva, Uva, I don't know, that's just a stutter midway through. Geres. And it comes from fine sifted flour. The zoo, but this carbon sota, eina tuuna lo shemen vlo levona. It is different. It doesn't require shemen or levona, meaning it can't have shemen or levona. Uba menas oren, uba kemach. And it comes from barley and from kemach, from this flour. Tanya, Amar Bishimon, Bedin hu shete minchas chote tuuna shemen ulevona. Shlohe chote niskar. Really, it's a din, meaning what should really be is that the minchas chote that we just described before should really need shemen or levona, right? It should need oil and frankincense, because we don't want this sinner to win. Like, we don't want him to, oh, that's such a cheap carbon. Within a cheap carbon, it's even cheaper. Like, come on, like, he's sinned. Let's have him feel the pain of bringing it a little bit, so hopefully he'll repent. But nevertheless, Hashem says, no, it's okay. Why not? So that his carbon shouldn't, so to say, seem to be mehudar. Let's discuss that in just a few moments, by the way. We're almost there. And uvedinu shetei chatas chelav, that a regular carbon chatas, tuna nesachim, that should require the libations, shloye chote niskar, because we don't want, so to say, the sinner to, so to say, again, to feel like it's much cheaper to get off free. Umibnei ma'eno tuna shloye carbono mehudar. And why doesn't he require it? Again, that his carbon should not be mehudar. What does mehudar mean? Let's take a look briefly at just the Sefer Chinuch in Mitzvah Kuf Chof Hey, says that it's an itzer daraisa to put oil on a mincha of a sinner, as we're discussing here. That's an itzer daraisa. It's not just like, okay, let's just let him get off free because it's not mehudar. It's fine. Let's right. So why not? Why is it a itzer daraisa? So he brings down a few reasons. The classic Sefer Chinuch, which likes to bring down beautiful reasons for the mitzvos. He says that oil represents royalty, like a king is anointed with oil. So whenever oil is mixed with anything, it rises to the top. Like if we light our Shabbos candles with oil and water, the oil always rises to the top. So we specifically don't want this sinner to bring oil with his carbon, because we don't want him to have any feeling of arrogance. I'm going to bring oil. Look at the oil. It's rising to the top. But let's let him leave out the oil to show that it's not rising to the top. What he did is not rising, but he's kind of low, and he should feel that. Just a nice symbolism behind the oil. Number two is that he's poor, right? He's poor. Shaloye korbano mehudar, as the Gemara said. Also, he's poor. So that's why he's bringing korban olah v'yared in the first place. That's why he's bringing a karmencha. Therefore, Hashem says, all right, I'll even save you the money on the oil. Hashem is being tremendously chas, pitiful, having pity on the moment of Klal Yisrael and allowing them off. Aval chatoso shel mitzora, but by the chatos of the mitzora, the ashamo, and the mitzora's asham, tunin nesachem, lefish ein bain al chet. They require nesachem because they're not brought for the chet, so they could be brought with wine. Anyway, does the sover amar v'shmuel bar nachmini amar Rebbe Yonasan, al shivat dvarim negoin bain v'chulu. That the negoin, that a mitzora, so to say, is brought upon for seven reasons. And there we see that it is brought upon for seven sins. So we said that a mitzora should not... we just mentioned before that the carbon of the mitzora, it does need nesachim because it's not brought al chet. Nesachim are the wine libations because it's not brought al chet, therefore we could bring the nesachim. But now we just have a braisa that seemed to indicate that there are sins that bring on a mitzora, and therefore why are they able to bring the libations? It says, Gemara hasam minigia hu d'ichparlei. It's the tsaras that brings the kapara. Interesting. It's the tsaras itself that brings the kapara. It's not the carbon that brings the kapara. The person had tsaras, their mitzora. They already had their kapara. Kimaisi carbon. So what does the carbon come to accomplish? L'shtaruye b'kachim hudukamaisi. It's to finalize that area of kachim that's going to bring them to the final place of being able to kind of be let off the mitzora status. But it's not that the carbon is giving him a kapara, and therefore it's able to be brought for libations. A beautiful reconciliation of both of these lines. Elamata chatas nazir teituna sachem lishena baal chet. Really, then, so the chatas of the nazir, which does require nesachim. Should then the chatas of a nazir require nesachim because it's not brought al chet? We're saying here that the nesachim should not be brought. The libation should not be brought with karbanos that are brought al chet. Several akrebia lazar hakaper demer nazir nami chotehu. No. According to the opinion of Relazar HaKapar, that the Nazir is also a Chote. And therefore, if it's a Chote, then it doesn't have libations. So that carbon that he brings, that Chatas that he brings, does not have the libations. We've had this discussion earlier in the Masechta briefly, discussing a Nazir and a Sota, the connection between the two. Big Machlokas is what a Nazir does. Is it good? Is it not good? To be Yazir Atzmo Min Hayayin, is that a good thing to do? So here, this opinion is that he's a Chote, which means that Hashem gave him certain things in this world to use in the right place and the right time. We discussed the other day food, we discussed intimacy. Those things, those physicality things are supposed to be done. The question is where and when. This Nazir decided to abstain himself from physical things, and according to his opinion, it's not a good thing. Sorry? And that's part of that machlokas. Is that what we should be doing? Are we supposed to be angels or not? We're supposed to be humans that are uplifting ourselves, right? The Shulchan Aruch says that all that we do should be l'shem shemayim. Let's drink wine, l'shem shemayim, at the right time. Food, l'shem shemayim, at the right time. So if we can have that type of focus, then we can understand how the nazir could be considered a chote. You'd be right, it's a lot there. Two dots. From Gamliel, Omer, Kishem, v'chula, right? Just like your... This was a powerful line we had in the Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel, the last line of the Mishnah, on Yudalad Amud Aleph, first Mishnah in the second parak, said, Kishem shemaseh maisa behema, just like her actions are a maisa behema, kach karbana ma'achal behema. So to her, karban is a ma'achal behema. Let's discuss that a little bit. Tanya, Amrlein Rabbi Gamliel lechachamim. Rabbi Gamliel says to chachamim, Sofrim, rabbis, listen up. Hanichuli, let me be v'adreshena k'min chomer. Let me darshan something somewhat allegorically. What is that? Turning over, yud tesvav amid beis. The shamil of Meir dekomar he achilasa madnei olam, that she fed her boel, right? Delicious food. Lefika karbana machal behema. So therefore, her carbon is going to machal behema. Again, a mida kneged mida sentiment here, where just like she fed him delicious foods, so she's going to bring the lowest kind of food, animal food, for a carbon. Omar lay. Okay, great. So I hear that, but not always, as we might have been scratching our foreheads a few days ago, not always is she feeding him delicious food. Hotenach Ashira, right? Great. So this maybe for a wealthy woman, who, right? And she's right. So she's going to start feeding him certain foods. But Ania Michael Amemar, But for the aniya, for the woman who's not wealthy, who's not able to like feed her these delicious foods, my ikolamemar, what's this mita k'neged mita element of her bringing the machal behema? Ela answers the Gemara, k'shem shema seha maisa behema, meaning not that her food, but her actions are, so to say, maisa behema, kach korbana machal behema. So it's not that the food that she was bringing is delicious food, and then we're going to bring animal food, but because her actions are more animalistic type of actions, so to the carbon is going to be animalistic type of food, animalistic type of carbon food. Rashi, Eli Osta Maisa Behema, Shehefkira Atzma L'Tashmash, because she freed herself for Tashmash, L'mi She'ena Benzuga, to somebody who was not her Benzug. Interesting, Benzug. If you take a look, animals generally have no pairs. So the benzug is the pair by the animal. Even though penguins apparently are monogamous,
right? There are some animals for life.
Doves apparently are, right? Yeah. And that's why Jews are sometimes compared to doves, because we only have one. We should have one relationship with Hashem, but it's still not a benzugo. There's not that like relationship element. There's some sort of connection between the two, but it's not that benzugo, that deep connection that they have, or grandkids, or like they're, you know, it's not like this whole family that gets to, you know, there's a different element there. If you take a look at the end of Perek Beis in Bereishis, right, the words, v'hayu lebasar echad, the man and woman will be to one basar. So Rashi there says, what does it mean, lebasar echad? There'll be a child. That's two people coming together. Lebasar echad is not the husband and wife, but it's lebasar echad, that two people coming together is a child. The DNA of that child is lebasar echad of the father and the mother. But the Ramban brings down, no, basar echad is the relationship. Like what we're saying here, it's the relationship that they have. It's the coming together. Because animals, which animals can, by the way, have a child also, and that's lebasar echad. So is Hashem saying basar echad in the Torah? Is like, no, animals can have this too. There's something special about the relationship, says the Ramban. And that's similar to the sentiment of this Rashi here about She'ena Benzuga, that coming together as one. So animals come together also, they have kids also, but human beings have a deep spiritual connection between husband and wife, and that's going to be what we're referring to, that she was mafkir that by being with somebody else, or at least being an ichud with him. Yes?
I don't know why it says Benzuga and not just Zuga. It seems like, it's, I mean, maybe that's the idiom, but it just seems like it takes it away from.
Totally. If I'm not mistaken, words, and I'm mistaken the other word yesterday, right? By the Eretz Yisrael, right?
Asisa.
Maybe. So I'm not the one talking about words, but it seems like Benzugo is the idiom. It's the way that it's like is she her Ben, you know, Ben or, I don't even have the word Batzug. I don't know if we use the word Zug. Benzugo is more, not just like a Zug is a pair. A Benzug seems to be more of the spouse, right? It seems. Tov, says the Mishnah.
It's the masculine spouse.
Masculine spouse.
Oh, doesn't it?
You do say Batzug. Batzug is the wife.
So then, okay, great. So then that would make sense, because Shehifkira Atzma in the Rashi, three lines down, Shehifkira Atzma Latashmish Lemisha Eina Benzuga, to the man who was not her Benzug. Does that make sense, right? Mm-hmm. Good? Fantastic. Mishnah. Okay, Hoya maybe Pilei Shalcheres, continuing with the avoda of the Karmincha, that she brings this Kli Cheres, the Pilei Shalcheres, which is some sort of cup, and then she brings inside of it a Chatzilug of Maim from the Kior. Amazing that we bring the Kior. I have this note from last cycle. The Kior, what was the Kior? Who made the Kior? Who gave the utensils?
Mirrors from Mitzrayim.
Yes, the Nashim Sidkanios. Mirrors. Interesting that we get the water from the Kiar. Perhaps there's depth there as to where did this Kiar come from. First of all, mirrors, physicality. They use their mirrors for good. They adorn themselves through the mirrors to be with their husbands, to have kids. And also, the Nashim Sidkanios, that maybe she has something to learn from as to where this water is coming from. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Revius. No, it's not a Chetzi Lug, but it's a Revius Lug. Kishem Shememayit B'Ksav, Kach Memayit B'Mayim. And just like, according to Rabbi Yehuda here, that we don't want as much a of the name of Hashem, so to say, to be washed up in there, so too we limit the amount of water that goes in there too. Nichnas lehechol, it goes into hechol, the ponel imino, they turn to the right, umakum hayasham, ama alama, the tablet shall shayish, the tabas hoysekvuba. And there's some sort of a tablet there, there's an area, kshumagbi avenotil offer mitachteo, there's some sort of loose tile there. Right, there's a special loose tile right there in the Heichal that they can lift up that tile, the Noksein Kadesha Yira Alamaim. And they should take some dirt from that, right, the Notal Ofer Mitachta, they take some of the dirt from underneath there, because you need dirt from Harabais to go inside the water. And the Noksein Kadesha Yira Alamaim, and that they put it inside so that it should be seen on the water. Shenemar, as we have the Pasuk in Bamidmar, Umina Afar, Sher Yebakarka, Hamishkan, Yikach Koin, Venosan El Hamayim, so that the dirt should be seen in the water itself. Says the Gemara, Tana, Pile Shel Cheres Chadasha, de Rabbi Yishmael. That this cup of Cheres should be new. My time, de Rabbi Yishmael. What is the reasoning of Rabbi Yishmael? Gemar Kli Mitzora. Because we learn the word Kli from Gzer Shava from the Mitzora. Malalon Cheres Chadasha. Just like over there, it's a new Cheres, new earthenware vessel. Afkan Cheres Chadasha. So to hear by the Tara process, it should be a Cheres Chadasha. The Hasumino, and where do you know by Mitzora, it has to be a new Cheres vessel. Dixiv Vishachatis Hatzipor Hachas El Kli Cheres Al Maim Chaim. That we should check the bird. El Kli Cheres Al Maim Chaim on the water. And Al Maim Chaim is on spring water. Ma Maim Chaim Shlo Nesta Behen Melacha. Just like this Maim Chaim spring water was never used before for Melacha, it's spring water. It's from a natural flowing source. Af Kli Shlo Nesta Bo Melacha. So to the Kli should come from a place where Melacha was never done with it. Wait, Yimal Alon Maim Chaim. If we're going to start making the comparison to the case over there by the Mitzora, Imalon Maim Chaim, Afkan Maim Chaim. So to wait, if you're going to say that we're going to start comparing Mitzora, and therefore we need a new Kli Cheres, let's see also here, that you also need Maim Chaim, you also need new water. Meaning we're taking it from the Kior, but what's going on here? Says Gemara, oh, beautiful. L'Rabbi Yishmael HaChinami, you're right, according to Rabbi Yishmael, we do make that comparison too. How do we know that? Damar Rabbi Yochanan, May Kior, where does the water from the Kior come from? What's the source of it? Is it a pond or spring water? Rabbi Yishmael Omer, May Einhein. It's from a spring water, meaning even though there's a Kior there, it's linked up to a natural Mayan. No, it's from the regular water source. Ikol Mefrach. We can now ask on Rabbi Yishmael. Malam Sersha Kenton Eitz Eras Ve'ezo V'shnisolas. But wait, if we're going to start comparing it, meaning the water and the earthenware vessel, then we should also need all these other things, right? The cedar tree and the hyssop and other stuff that are needed for the Mitzora. Amar Rabba, no. Amarka Bikli Cheres. It says Bikli Cheres in the Kli Cheres by the Sota. Klisha Martil Chakfar. So the Kli Cheres and what's inside of it, the Kli Cheres and the water that's inside of it, yes, but not all these other extra things that are added by the Mitzora. Just one brief thought. The Rabbeinu Bechai says, why Cheres? What does Cheres symbolize? And what happens if a Cheres becomes Tame, a Kli Cheres? It can't, like glass and metal, they can be kashered. A Kli Cheres must be totally shattered and broken. It's done. Once it's done. So to hear, we continue to let her know, it's a Kli Cheres. If you drink this water, you're going to be totally done forever, this world and the next. Please, please, please repent. All these little symbolisms are beautiful. We're trying to let her know, and of course all of us, that the averas that we do have lasting effects. Let's do tshuva while we can now. Wish us all a great day, and we'll continue.
Who provides that?
It seems to be that it's from the Beis HaMikdash, it seems. All right, have a wonderful day, everybody.